Hey, this is James from the Survival Punk Podcast. Today, we've got, so it's January. Lots of people have their New Year's resolutions. A lot of people are trying to lose weight. Most of them will probably fail. I'm going to give you some tips in today's episode to help your chances of not failing. Many of you know that I have lost like 100 pounds and I've kept it off for over a year, which is a, well, that's a lot of fucking weight. And most people tend to, you know, inch back up the scales, lose, you know, gain some more weight, gain more than what they lost. For fuck's sake, I'd hate to gain another 100 pounds on top of the 100 that I lost to gain back. So 200 pounds, making me 400 pounds. I would fail at being a survivalist. So, and that's a topic that I just don't see come up enough in the survival blog world, survival podcast, and all that. The fitter you are, to a degree, the healthier you'll be. I know there's a lot of people that think they're fit and really they're just kind of destroying their health. We want to get to a level of fitness to allow us to survive. That's the point of all that we do here. So the tips I'm going to give you today are going to make you a better survivalist if you follow it. The good friend of the show, Jeff Radke from the Lost Skills podcast, he adopted a paleo diet and he's lost a fairly significant amount of weight. And on top of that, he's gotten off some medications, improved his health overall. So it helps. It works if you do it. Today I'm gonna kind of make this the weight loss extravaganza super show. I'm gonna combine some of my best tips to lose weight, and it will be fairly rapidly. A lot of the experts that tell you that weight loss is slow and that losing a pound a week is a good amount of weight loss, they're fucking stupid. There's no reason that your weight loss should be so slow. I mean, technically, any losing of weight is good. Any moving the direction of losing weight is good. But I don't like doing things slow. So why do that when I can lose a pound a day? You know, so that's what I'm going to do. That's going to lay out to you today. I've researched and used diets for years, and these are the tips that have given me the most success. You will not hear shit about calories in, calories out. Fucking lie. It's not going to work. You will not hear how you have to kill yourself with cardio. Not really going to work. I know a lot of people that calorie count, eat what they think is a healthy, nutritious, grain-based diet, and do shit tons of cardio, and they're wrecking their health, and they're not losing weight. And they're frustrated because they think, I'm working so hard and I'm eating so right, why can't I fucking lose weight? And why doesn't it stay off? You may have to lose some weight, but then it just comes right back. And then you quit. You're like, fuck it. I'd rather not bust my ass doing shit that I hate fucking doing. Who really wants to sit on the fucking elliptical machine for an hour a day? Or two? And not even get results? Fuck it. They can sit on the couch and eat Snickers bars and watch fucking The Walking Dead and not... Well, they're going to gain weight, but, you know, they're going to be relatively happy. They find comfort in that. So, moving to our first topic, we're just going to jump right into it. No news stories, none of that. No couch potato Mike. Mike will be back on the next episode, which should be an interview. Or I'm going to try to bank a few of these here. Tip number one, don't do it unless you really want it. It has to be for yourself and not anyone else. A lot of people are like, oh, I'm trying to lose weight for my family, trying to lose weight for this. I've not really ever noticed that to be the thing. You've got to hit the point where you're like, fuck it, I can't live like this anymore. That's the only way you will successfully have weight loss. You've got to do it because you want to do it. You've got to hit that moment where you're like, you know, and it's usually a eureka, like an epiphany moment. Like, you look in the mirror and you don't even recognize yourself anymore. You know, you realize that your fat pants you have are now so tight that you're going to have to buy a bigger pair of pants. And that's a huge blow to your ego. I mean, who really wants to move up to a higher pant size? Like, I know with men, there's sort of that 30 to 40 and then 40 to, for God's sake, 50 pant size. It just, you know, it hurts. If you go from like a size 38, which, you know, a lot of my friends were average build, you know, they wear a size 38, you know, and when you've got to go from that 38 to a size 40, you're like, fuck, not 40s. And then, you know, I have friends that they're starting to creep towards that 50 waist, and nobody wants a size 50. I mean, at that point, it even gets a little bit harder to find your pant sizes. You know, there's lots of times that I've been pant shopping, and I couldn't buy the pair of pants that I wanted because they didn't even make them the size that I was. I mean, funny story, you know, I was at Hot Topic years ago in my teenage years, and I wanted a pair of red plaid golf pants, and they only made them up to, I think, a size 36. At the time, I was a 38, 40, somewhere in there. And I think I tried them on, and it was ridiculously, like, skin tight. And I'm like, yep, not going to buy these. So, sort of an off-ranty sort of topic. But you've got to find what motivates you to do it for yourself. I mean, even if you have to go search for it. Because it just won't stick if you're doing it for someone else. You know, your health is a good motivator. If you go in the doctor's office and they tell you that you are either a pre-diabetic or a diabetic, doing what I tell you can lead to reversing the diabetes. So there's that. Quick disclaimer, I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a doctor. The advice I give is advice. Take it or leave it. If you choose to take it, you might want to consult a physician. They will probably tell you I'm wrong, but lots of people have done it and it has worked. And some of the scientists are starting to come around. So anyway, first rule is you've got to find your motivation. My next rule is don't be hungry. If you're hungry, that's when those donuts and those cheesy poofs or whatever, that's when the bad food starts to call to you. That's when your brain starts to shut down and your Labrador brain just says food, and you can't think, and a lot of times you'll just sort of go on impulse and you'll just eat it. You'll just grab it, you'll eat it, you'll buy it, you'll pick it up. I had the same problem, I guess, with just being thirsty, but for a long time until I broke the habit, I was still drinking diet sodas, and there was a lot of times where I would buy one, I would buy it and start drinking it and realize, fuck, I didn't even mean to buy that. I didn't want a diet soda. I didn't want to buy this. I wanted to get a coffee or water or something, and just those old reflexes. I mean, literally, I was on the phone with Couch Potato Mike one day, and I went in the store and was paying for gas or something, and I sure enough just went and got a Coke Zero from the Coke machine, and I started sipping, and I'm like, fuck, I didn't mean to do this. So the same thing with being hungry. If you're not hungry, then those temptations you just don't feel them. If you're full and you're looking at, like, cheesecake, and I need to get some cheesecake on next cheat day. We'll talk about that later. You're not lusting after it. You're good to go. So Don't be hungry. I'm flying through these. This might be a short episode, but there's so dense of information that you may want to listen to it twice and it'll make it a full-length episode. So, the rules. The rules to the survival punk diet. And these rules can be modified over time, but give it 30 days, give it as long as you want, to see the benefits. After the 30 days, you can usually add stuff back in, see what works, see what doesn't work. For God's sake, one time I followed basically these rules for a year, and that year I lost 80 pounds. And these are basically the same rules that I used when I lost the 100 pounds. So, and right now I'm sitting around 200, so it works. I still do it, and I don't feel the need to go off of it. So, the rules. Don't eat any grains. No wheat, no barley, no millet, no oat, no rye, no grains at all. Next, don't eat any legumes. So we're basically talking basic paleo here. No legumes. So no beans, no black beans, no sweet peas. You can, if you really have a burning desire, you can eat green beans. From all the paleo experts and all the anti-nutrient people, I've not seen enough evidence to say that green beans are really bad for you. I fucking hate them, so I won't eat them anyway. I decided when I turned 18, I'm a fucking adult, I never have to eat green beans again. So I haven't. So, no legumes, no grains. Stay away from most dairy. So the fatter the dairy, the better. So if you're going to drink milk, and I would say don't drink milk, you would choose the vitamin D milk over the 2% milk, which is bullshit. But the dairy that you can have, grass-fed is the best. Butter, all the grass-fed butter you can possibly want. You really can't eat enough of it. Grass-fed cheese. You can have some full-fat cheese. Stay away from the reduced fat or whatever bullshit. And you can have regular butter. Like grass-fed butter, the best. Regular butter, still pretty damn good. Just don't mistakenly get any like vegetable spread or any bullshit like that. And try like, I know Kerrygold Irish Butter in their creamy tub they have, they started putting canola oil in there. So don't get that crap. It ruins a great product. But, you know, butter. If you have a local farmer and you can get raw milk, then that's great. I've got it once in Nashville. And I did an article. There's a website here that has a shifty way to get around with the laws, where it's a online order where you purchase a share of the cow, but not like a normal CSA. You're not paying for that portion of the cow. You're basically ordering your milk in any quantity you want. But you're not buying the milk, you're buying a super fractionalized percentage of the cow, which your dividend is milk. So I've done that, and if you're in the Nashville area, that works out really well. There's, I'm trying to find the article so you guys can see it. And it's really good. So that's, like I said, you can have regular cheese. I would try to limit it. Some people like Cash Potato Mike are really addicted to cheese. So you might want to recognize that that's an emotional trigger there and try to work around it. Otherwise, I really don't see an issue with the cheese. I wouldn't go overboard like with Atkins. They, I think, limit it to, I don't know, 2 cups of cheese a day or something. So, you know, if you need to impose a limit, if you're eating more than 2 cups of cheese a day, you might want to cut down to 2 cups. And then possibly go below that. I usually get a small thing of grass-fed cheese every 2 weeks, and it usually lasts about 2 weeks, and that's about all the cheese I really need. Next. So, if you're a high-level, high-performance athlete, this podcast probably isn't for you. Your dietary needs are completely different from the average overweight person or sedentary person. So if you are overweight and you are fairly sedentary, or you are suffering from some health issues, diabetes or whatnot, and not a high performance athlete, then this is a podcast for you, and this is the advice that I give you. Go to the website somewhere that lets you put in your food. I can't remember none of the names at the moment, but there's a lot of websites out there where you type in what you eat and it figures out like My Fat Diary, I think, does one. The food logs. So it figures out what the caloric breakdown and the macronutrient breakdown of the food you're eating is. You want to aim to hit no more than 20 grams of carbohydrate per day. Maximum. No more than 20 grams. That's gonna help put you in ketosis as long as, and the next rule, you limit protein. A lot of people, and even like sort of low-carb, ketogenic experts and veterans, people like myself that have been doing low-carb for, a decade, we tend to be pretty carnivorous. And if we don't really catch ourselves, we will just eat protein. We will just eat meat all day, all night, protein, protein, protein. This diet, what I'm telling you here, is not a high-protein diet. And when you tell people you're going low-carb, they'll say, oh, you can't do high-protein, it'll kill your kidneys. Probably not, actually. But this is not high-protein. That's just a misconception. There's some different breakdowns of how much protein you can eat. It generally tends to, vary between person to person. Some people need to eat 16 grams of protein from meat sources or less a day. I've heard Atkins had a chart, but it was based on height and weight and stuff. So find out what works for you. I'm doing probably, 6 ounces of protein a day at this moment. 3 ounces from grass-fed beef, and then probably about 3 ounces or so from bacon. And then give or take, whatever protein I get. So, if you want to limit your proteins to 20 grams of carbo or 20 grams of protein a day or so, then, that's what you need to do. The problem is, if you eat too much protein, in the absence of carbohydrates, your body can convert the protein to glucose through the through the gluconeogenesis process. So you really don't want it to do that very much. It's going to kick you out of ketosis. It's going to make things harder. So you'll think you'll be doing the right things, but since you're eating too much protein, or the wrong kinds of proteins, and we'll talk about that. It'll be hard to stay in ketosis and sort of deep nutritional ketosis where you're actually burning fat. So, find a number that works for you, 20, 40 grams or so of protein, and stay under that. If you're a bodybuilder, if you want to go with a gram to a gram and a half of protein per pound of body weight, then that's what you need to do because you need the extra protein. Like I said, this is for sedentary people or just not high-level athletes. For your protein, grass-fed beef is the best choice. It is getting easier to find and more affordable. So at the moment, I found that organic grass-fed beef is being sold at my Walmart for $6 a pound for ground, organic ground beef. So you're thinking, oh, a pound of ground beef for $6, I can get, you know, regular ground beef for like $3.99 or $4 or whatever. The health benefits of grass-fed beef are a lot better, and it sort of, by proxy of being expensive, helps out my limiting protein, because otherwise, like, so back when I just did low-carb, there's a lot of times where I would cook a pound of ground beef, and I would eat a pound of ground beef with my meal. Like, I would eat the whole fucking, like, ground, the whole fucking pound. And that was the reason why I started putting weight back on, because I was eating so much protein, and it made keeping the diet a bit harder, I think, because I was not in ketosis, so I was gaining weight that way, and then I had trouble staying on the diet because I wasn't full, satisfied, and not hungry all the time. So grass-fed beef is your best choice. And then we're talking about not the right choices. So chicken is too lean. If you're going to eat chicken, eating boneless, skinless chicken breast, probably not your best choice, unless you're dousing it with a lot of fat. If you're going to go with chicken, I would choose a skin-on chicken. Chicken thighs are pretty amazing with the skin on. And add something extra, like cook them in coconut oil. Douse them with some olive oil at the end. So we define that this is not a high-protein diet, but it is a high-fat diet. And I know a lot of people are probably cringing. They're like, high fat, but fat will make you fat. No, the fuck it won't. The proof is in the not pudding here. Fat does not make you fat. Fat in the presence of high amounts of carbohydrate, they together will make you fat. There's no way that you can combine fat and carbohydrate together in large quantities and not get fat. Normally in a refined food product, especially with lots of refined sugar or corn syrup, really bad. And you know, those are the wrong kinds of fats, like vegetable oil, pretty, you know, most of the vegetables, olive oil, pretty good. Coconut oil, really good. So we want to make sure that we're eating the right kind of fats. You eat the wrong kind of fat, you're not really, I mean, if you're drenching all your food in canola oil, you're not really doing yourself any favors there. So the right fats, grass-fed butter, awesome. Eat as much of that as you want. Douse everything in it. Your vegetables become a transport vessel for belted grass-fed butter, which is pretty amazing. Regular butter. So what I do is every week I buy 4 packs of unsalted Kerrygold butter and those 4 sticks of regular, the cheapest, that's all butter and cream, not anything else, salted butter. Because when I cook with stuff, or, you know, I cook with stuff or add it to my eggs, I usually put in some extra non-grass-fed butter just because I'm too poor to buy that much grass-fed butter. I mean, a lot of my budget, every paycheck goes to buying butter. So I buy that, and because I don't want to put, so I make a lot of bulletproof coffee and cocos and teas, which is adding grass-fed butter and coconut oil or MCT oil to a hot liquid drink, coffee. Or in the morning times when I get, well, in the evening times when I get off work, which is technically the morning times because I work overnight, I make hot chocolate with just some raw cocoa powder, some stevia, sometimes the grass-fed butter, sometimes I do just the regular salted butter. The salt sort of takes a little bit of bitterness off the cocoa powder. Whatever. But either way. So, grass-fed butter, regular butter, coconut oil, olive oil, MCT oil, which is a extract of a particular part of coconut oil. So the medium chain triglyceride oil, which they have different sorts of different varieties of MCT oil based on which of the medium chain triglycerides that they pull out of it. Caprylic 8, caprylic? C8 MCT oil is what Dave Asprey uses in his, I think the XCT oil or the Brain Octane, one of the two or both of them. It's supposed to be even more ketogenic, more fattier, and good for you. Completely flavorless. That's the one thing I like about MCT oil, is it has no flavor. So when you're cooking stuff in it, it doesn't add any extra flavor. Like, I'm actually not a big fan of using organic coconut oil just because I don't actually like the flavor. It tastes too coconutty, and I don't like it. So, and then lastly, lard. If you can get, so lard is one of the healthiest foods there is, especially if it comes from good organic pastured pigs. If you can get that, more power to you. If not, I'm a bit iffy on the cheapest lard you can get. In my experience, if you go to like a grocery store, they usually have lard like in the lard section, like one tub, like manteca, and I use it for cleaning my cast iron and seasoning it, but I don't really, it tastes horrible. So the better quality lard you can get, the better it'll be. Or you can render your own lard from good quality pigs. Next, add fat to everything. You always want to get in more fat. The majority of your calories, 70-80%, will be from fat. So you're going to need those. It adds up pretty quick, you know. But you want to make sure that you have the energy powering yourself, powering your brain, powering your cells. And it's going to come from fat. So you got to think, so much of your calories, you know, are not coming from protein or carbohydrate now. You've got to make up for that. So don't skip out on the fat. A lot of times when I cook a food, when I get ready to, you know, eat it, I'll just drizzle olive oil on it. Just finishing it. I cook with plenty of fat. But I finish it off with extra oil just to get that little extra kick. And it works really good. That was my cat being silly. So cook in those good oils. Add extra oil to it. You know, so when I cook my breakfast every morning, I cook 3 pieces of bacon. And my trick is I cut them in half so they fit in the skillet, and it actually looks like I have 6 pieces of bacon. So sort of mental game there. So I'll leave the oil in there, and then I put in, I don't know, a cup of kale. And I've been getting just the frozen kale. You can get the fresh kale, whatever. A good like cup of it just to fill it up. And then I put the lid on it. I saute it for a little bit. I spread it out to the side to create an inner circle where there is no kale. Put in 2 tablespoons of the salted, regular, non-grass-fed butter. If you want to use grass-fed butter, more power to you. And then I crack in 3 to 4 eggs, depending on how frisky I feel that day. Scramble them up in that circle, and then when they get close to being done, I incorporate them into the kale and make a kale scrambled eggs. It just sort of fills up extra tummy space, get some leafy greens in there. And, you know, I get some extra fat in there from the fact that I cooked it in bacon and then added butter. So I have butter and bacon, and then I have the yolks from the eggs adding some extra fat. So fat. You want to get them in there. Something I've been doing recently, and it's helping me sort of break through a stall it's fixing some other like sort of cognitive problems, is bulletproof fasting. Normally, when you do an intermittent fast, you just don't eat for a period of, say, 17 hours, and then do all of your eating in the remaining hours of the day. Usually like a 7-8 hour window. With that, a lot of people, most all people, tend to get really fucking hungry, hate the world, and just they're just not good people to be around. Because one, it's kind of hard normally to cram in a decent amount of calories in that short a period of time. Basically, there tends to be some overeating, which is sort of counterproductive. When you're trying to lose weight, I don't subscribe to the calories in, calories out theory at all. But if you're starving yourself and then shoving food in your face, it's not good for the digestion system. It's not good. So I don't like it. But with Dave Asprey and his bulletproof fasting, instead of going completely without eating, you don't eat. You wake up, and in the morning time, you have a cup of coffee with a tablespoon or two of grass-fed butter, a tablespoon or two of coconut oil or MCT oil to get in energy through fat. It's pure fat, and you're not using any carbohydrate. You're not eating any protein in there. And that is incredibly filling. So what I do is I wake up at about 7 usually, knock back a bulletproof coffee, or start sipping on it. It takes me, about 20 minutes to make it. And then I sip on that. Usually I'll make a second one on my drive in to work with a little bit less and weaker coffee. And that, so I wake up at 7, I don't eat until noon. I make my breakfast and then take and eat my breakfast at lunchtime because I just really like eating the eggs, bacon, and kale. As all of my coworkers know this, the lovely smell of eggs, bacon, and kale. Sometimes I actually, recently I started, they make a microwavable pork rind, which sounds really weird, but tastes better than any pork rind you've ever had. So sometimes I eat that with breakfast too, but mostly I just share it with some of the coworkers at my table. We eat the bag of pork rinds and I eat the eggs, bacon, and kale. After that, I don't eat again until 99% of the time. Every once in a while, like if I'm feeling super hungry, I'll get something, healthy. I'll get some nuts or whatever. But that's rare. Since the few months I've been doing Bulletproof, I've had to do that like once or twice. Then again, like I say, I don't eat again until about 7 in the morning. So at that time, it's been several hours. So yeah, I eat again about 7:30, 8 o'clock or so in the morning. And then obviously I go to sleep around 10-ish and then do the process over again. So with that, maybe there was a slight, couple-day process before I was, adapted. Maybe 2 or 3 days where I was, feeling some hunger pains where, when 12 o'clock came, I was pretty much ravenous and ready to eat. But then I was good to go the rest of the night. Now, after I get my second cup, I'm usually... I can eat on lunch, but I'm not ravenous. My mind's not going crazy. I'm not looking at all the food like, I need you in my belly. So, it works. I would say it took a couple of days. And the type of oil that you use will make a difference. If I had gotten MCT oil and the C8 MCT oil, it is more energy. It would provide more ketones, so you would be better. It is more expensive, though. So, there's that. So if you do eat any carbs, so like I said, you have 20 grams of carbs. I think eggs provide you with like two or three, maybe. I think a gram of carb per egg is the rule that I've seen for large eggs. Bacon, negligible if there's anything in there. If you have sugar-free bacon, there's obviously none. So I wouldn't even count that. The kale, tiny amount. If you're going to eat any more carbs than that per day, so obviously that would be your lunch. You can pack in some of the higher carb veggies at dinner, which is what you want to do. You want to get those carbs in the evening time if you're going to consume any. I eat a little bit higher carb, and I eat like either one plantain or one sweet potato before at my last meal at dinner, before bed. And you process the carbs better at nighttime. And there's some moderate, it might help with sleep. So eating some carbs before bed might help with your sleep. Can't really go wrong with might help, though. So definitely want to get your carbs in the evening. Next, this is sort of next level tips here. If you want to really speed up the fat burning, if you want to get your immunity system boost, testosterone boost, you actually going to want to take some cold showers or a bath. Or a cold pack on the back of your neck, or a fucking polar plunge. So cold exposure, contrary to the being horny myth, actually makes you build more testosterone. So it's one of the ways you can increase your testosterone, men and women. You might want to do that. So cold exposure, it boosts your immune system. It helps your mitochondria. It helps with activating the brown adipose tissue. That's brown fat cells, not tiny little cute creatures from Doctor Who. But activating the brown adipose tissue actually burns regular fat. I'm not going to go into the scientific details here, but activating your brown adipose tissue will burn fat, along with all the other benefits of the cold exposure. You can try, taking a walk in the cold. I've heard that you get a lot of benefits from being in water at 68 degrees or being in water that is not cold, but being in water for a long time will still drop your core body temperature. So if you're swimming in a non-heated pool, but, it's regular sort of temperature, your body temperature will start to fall after a while, and then that will give you your good cold exposure. Taking a 5 to 10 minute cold shower. So just after you finish your shower, switch it to cold, turn off all the heat, and give it a couple minutes. There you go. You could do it daily. You can do it weekly. Whatever you're comfortable with, try to get in some cold exposure. I know Tim Ferriss says that the like cold pack on your neck, in the evening while you're watching TV or internetting, that works. I have had mixed results with that, to each their own. So, cheat day. I'm a big proponent of having a cheat day. Because I know that the years that I didn't have a plan set in stone, going to eat bullshit on this day, it tends to sneak up on you. Maybe you're like, I really wanted that burrito from Taco Bell. I'm just going to get it. And then that sort of leads you down a slippery slope. For me, with that either weekly, say Saturday or whatever day you pick with a 7-day span in between there, or monthly, which is what I've done before. When you want to really go into like super fat burning mode, monthly has worked better for me than weekly, but either or. Once again, to each their own. So now I'm doing a once a week. I'm maintaining. weight, my belt's getting a little looser. So for me, once a month worked more rapidly. But anyway, so pick either once a week or once a month, whatever you feel that you happen to be able to do on that cheat day. So throughout the week, if you're doing weekly, every time you see something that gives you an urge, a temptation that you want to eat, you see a Butterfinger, you want to eat that, donuts, cheesecake, you know, fried chicken, tacos, whatever. Keep a list, you know, on your phone, download the Evernote app, and you see it, you're like, cheat day, add tacos, add cheesecake, whatever, whatever you feel that you need. And then on cheat day, eat it. Eat it all. We've got some protocols to help the cheat day minimize the effect that it'll have on you. But once a week, spiking your calories like that will sort of help bring you out of starvation mode, which will help keep the fat burning process going. Morally, it allows you to not really be tempted. You're like, oh, I'll just eat on cheat day. You know, when people offer you stuff, like during the holidays or just, you know, baking and stuff, they're like, hey, you want a piece of this? Nope, I'm good. Or just take it home, throw it in your freezer, eat on cheat day. That's what I used to do. So otherwise, the temptation is usually too much. There's only so many times that you can be like, no, I don't want that, for you start feeling left out and sort of withdrawals. So by having that cheat day, you take that decision out of it. You really don't have to make that decision. You know you're not going to eat it that day. You're going to have it on cheat day. So you're not like struggling and fighting over it. You're like, nope, I'm good. I'll eat that on cheat day. So that's really my bigger utilization of the cheat day tool. The cheat day protocol you will follow is eat a normal breakfast. You know, so wake up, eat some bacon and eggs. For cheat day, I personally prefer not to do the intermittent fasting or bulletproof fasting. So instead of eating, you know, I'll still drink my coffee with butter just because of the way I drink it. So, but I'll wake up, you know, I'll eat my bacon, eggs, and kale and bulletproof coffee. And then, and when you eat that meal, you're not quite as full for as long, which seems counterintuitive, but it's not, as if you had just drank the coffee. So starting around lunchtime, I would say, so you can start cheating at lunchtime. But before that, you want to drink a cup of grapefruit juice, and it blunts your insulin response for all the bull crap that you're going to eat. So you don't really spike it as much. It's sort of like level. So that helps take care of that part of it. This seems weird, but I've done it in restaurants and I've done it at home. Doesn't matter. Before you eat your cheat meal, you know, run off to the bathroom, run into the other room, fucking do it in your house. Who cares? Do 40 air squats. And that's sort of Tim Ferriss's minimal effective dose for activating the GLUT4 transport vessels. So all this junky, sugary, junky food you're eating is going to be mostly sugary, glucose. Your body will take that instead of storing it as fat like it should, because you don't need that many calories. It'll transport it to your muscle cells because they're asking for glucose. For muscle glycogen, because you just used your muscles for that. So this is getting them in right after you do that, and that does it. And then if you can, cheat day is definitely a day that you want to have an afternoon workout in there. Lift some heavy stuff, go for a walk with your family, you know, whatever. Try to do something in the afternoon. And that's really it. You could do none of that, and you still won't really, you'll still get most of the benefits. If you do that, it'll accelerate fat burning so that you're not like pushed in and out of ketosis as much. And there's some tricks to get right back in ketosis so that this doesn't even affect you as much. And we'll talk about that. So this is sort of my new what I would suggest to do. I still say do this. This is good stuff. But I have a way that you, since we're talking about ketosis here, to get right back into it. You shouldn't need to snack. If throughout the day you're feeling hungry, you need to eat more. You need to eat, have more fat in your meals. You need to eat bigger meals. You need to eat more. This is a point that I argued, or didn't argue, because he just wouldn't listen, really, with Couch Potato Mike. He came home from work one day when he was actually following paleo and stuff like I told him to. And he was like, "Oh, I'm so tired. And I just can't think. And I'm foggy." And I'm like, "What did you eat?" And he was like, "Oh, this morning I had like 4 hard-boiled eggs." I'm like, "You dumb son of a bitch. No wonder you're fucking hungry and like can't think and brain foggy. You need to eat more." Most people, chronically, tend to underestimate healthy food-wise how much they're eating. Or just eat too little. You want to eat more. You want to not be hungry. That's the point here. These foods, you cannot eat enough to make you fat. Your body will tell you to stop eating. You cannot eat anymore. I know Dave Asprey did like a 4,000 calorie a day and got a six-pack. Probably don't need to go that far, guys. More power to you if you want to give it a try, though. My budget won't even allow me to eat 4,000 calories a day. More or less, the fact that I just don't even know if I could consume that much. So, if you need to track it, do that. I hate tracking. I get bored with it super quick. But just know, if you're getting hungry, that's a sign that you need to eat more. So eat more food, put more fat on it, eat more. So this is my tip to sort of, when you first do this, if you've not done a low-carb diet, you're going to have the carb flu. I mean, that's sort of the nickname for it. It's been around since, you know, Atkins invented, like in the 80s or whatever. Basically, it's where you feel like shit for a few days because your body is detoxing and making the switch from a glucose-burning system to a fat-burning system using ketones. If you get some MCT oil, and they sell ketone bodies now, like I think Keta, Kami Keta or something. I can't remember the name of it. They make ketone bodies. There's a few brands on the market you can buy to immediately go into ketosis using exogenous ketones. So if you are worried about that, or you just want to give it a try, pick up some of those exogenous ketones and you'll get right into fat burning mode. And you can supplement with them throughout the week. Definitely on cheat day, I would probably just sort of speak out my ass here thing. I would probably not take ketones until the nighttime on cheat day and then hit it hard the next morning and you should be good. I wouldn't take them the day of cheat day though, really. You can test your ketone levels using a few different methods. You can go into pretty much any pharmacy and get keto sticks. You pee on them. They change color. Bright purple, you're in ketosis. Not really any color. You're probably not. But then again, you might be. They're not terribly accurate. If you drink a lot of water throughout the day, like you should, then it'll dilute your urine and you won't be able to tell. So I've had the best results. You basically first pee of the day, pee on the stick, let the droplet of pee, I know it sounds gross here, sit on it for a minute or two, and then you'll see the full color change. And then you'll know you're doing good, you're doing bad. He's really inaccurate, though. They make a lot like the blood testing meters. They make ones for testing your blood ketone meter levels. The meters themselves are getting more available. The strips are pretty damn expensive, though, and kind of hard to find. Worth the investment to truly track and know where you're doing, but not totally necessary, but another tool in your arsenal to lose weight. Avoid diet sodas. I know it's hard. If you have swapped sodas for diet sodas, or you are a soda drinker, which you need to quit those too, because they're just sugary bullshit, it's hard. I have struggled and still do struggle with diet soda addiction. It seems stupid, but I can't fucking help it. They will slow down your weight loss, possibly even halt it, and have longer fucking issues. I think what finally got me was when I found out that the fake sugar aspartame and the rest of them, because normally aspartame is what's in most diet sodas, it kills your gut bacteria, which then leads to obesity. So it's not really a diet soda if it makes you fat. So at this point, you can do all these things, most of these things, a combination of a few of these things, and you should lose weight. Everyone that I've given advice to, they have lost weight. I have lost weight. I coach Couch Potato Mike to stomp his company's Biggest Loser contest and win a significant pile of cash. And that was with these things. And actually, I think I coached him to use a UFC fighter trick to shed water weight the last week of weigh-in to put like the icing on the cake there. Like, he'd already smoked the company, but I sent him in like toned like a fucking fighter, you know, with like no water weight, and the competition was smoked. He looked great for like a week or two. We're not going into all that. Unless you're doing a photo shoot, you don't need to worry about that. This is actual weight loss and not tricking the system into like losing 20 pounds in like a week or 2 days or whatever. Don't do it. Not worth it. Not sustainable. Only for photo shoots and weigh-ins and shit like that. The last thing. So I've had better success with adding in exercise. There's still weight loss. Like when I coached Mike, I specifically told him not to work out. So there was no chance of muscle gaining to offset the weight loss. This is unsustainable. So the more lean muscle mass you build, the more fat loss you will, the more fat you will lose over time. So it's sort of like a smart investment strategy here. You invest in the muscle mass now, and it sort of keeps giving you weight loss dividends. So fastest, best, and we don't want to waste a lot of time here. So sprint once a week. That's really not that hard. I mean, if you really want to, like, you know, give it that extra go there, once a week, do like 50-meter sprints. Give it all you got. You know, and then do it a couple times. Like, do maybe, you know, 5 to 10 repeats until you're just busted ass, can't do anything more. That builds human growth hormone. It will help you burn weight a lot better than repeated stupid cardio at low level. So, a couple times a week, just sprint balls ass as hard as you can. That's it. Did I say a couple times a week? No. Once a week. Sprint once a week. Not that hard. That's not 7 days of fucking cardio. Lift heavy weights. I'm not going to give you weightlifting equipment. I'm not going to give you weightlifting advice here. I would tend to stick with the foundations. Deadlift, deadlift, back squat, or front squat. I like the front squat a lot, actually. And then I've heard some things that it's better in certain ways for people. So deadlift, a squat, you can do bench press, but with the deadlift and the squat, maybe a shoulder press, you should be pretty good. You're covering a lot of your things there. Set those push-ups. You can throw them in if you want. Find some high-intensity training stuff you can do at home with no workout equipment. Usually those workouts are, 10, 15 minutes. You can knock them out at home with no equipment. So those are all great things. That's next level. If you're at a stall, if you just want to do more to get the weight loss going faster, it balances out. Oh, I'm talking myself raw here. Well, we are at the 55-minute mark, and I thought this would be a short show. Go figure that. So, I know a lot of you have New Year's resolutions. You want to get healthier. This will do it. Give me 30 days. Do what I'm telling you to do for 30 days. And at the end of 30 days, if you feel like shit and you're fatter, call me on my shit. I've never had anyone listen to my advice and be like, you know what, James? I fucking tried your advice, dude, and I'm fat now. Never happened. Shout out to Cheryl from the Crooked Tree Farm. She took my advice. She lost a lot of weight. She looks great now. Jeff Radke, he followed my advice. He lost a bunch of weight. I have a bunch of listeners and friends that have emailed me and like, dude, because of you, I started following this way of eating, this lifestyle, this diet. I lost a lot of weight. I feel better. Couch Potato Mike, when he did it, he felt better, felt great, lost weight, won money. So I have not had anyone that has listened to me, done what I have said, not had success. Period. What I'm giving you in this episode is, I mean, for God's sake, I can be charging people money for this advice. I'm giving it to you for free. You don't have to join the members. You don't have to join the Survival Punk Army. You don't have to know a secret handshake. I used to be a Mason, though, so if you want to, I can give you the secret handshake. If you're a Mason, I'm not going to give it away to other people. So I know the secret handshake, guys. But yeah, that's, follow the advice, give it a try for 30 days, and email me, james@survivalpunk.com. Let me know how you feel. Let me know, if how much weight you lost. If you took pictures, send them to me. I wanna see how well you did. High five. So, with that, I'm going to wrap this shit up, get this episode published, and go to sleep. DIY to lose weight, guys.